Show. I'm your special guest host, Tom Palswitz. We're going to have a great guest coming on in a minute here, but we did want to jump over to Tom, who's on the phone, who's been waiting very patiently. So, Tom, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been thinking about why the Democrats lost, and I think there's a lot of reasons, but I think one reason that's not really been talked about is the abortion issue. And Kamala talked about it quite a bit, and how she wanted to make things better and get the laws back to what they had been. I don't think that's a winning strategy. And what I mean by that is that I know there's a lot of people who are not pro-abortion and never will be. So I think the Democrats need to come to a middle point somehow with the right and be more pro-life. Maybe not as far as the right is, but more pro-life, including adoption. I have some friends who adopted 6 children, and it costs them like $20,000, $30,000 for each one. So I would like to see the Democrats become more open to working with the right on that issue and finally resolving. And I think that by doing that, it would take that issue away from the Republicans and give the Democrats a more fighting chance to win.
Well, I appreciate the thoughts, Tom. Thanks for calling in. So just a quick note on that. I think there was quite a few referendums and initiatives across the country when it came to defining timelines on abortion that got an overwhelming support in a lot of areas. But there were a lot of voters who voted for abortion rights and Donald Trump at the same time. And I think that's one of those things I took away from this last election, that people care about abortion, but there's something else going on that led them down to Donald Trump. So appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you very much. Want to introduce my next guest. He is State Senator Chris Larson. So I've known Chris for a while. He was very gracious when I decided to run and helped me understand the lay of the land when it came to what it all meant. He's been in Madison for a while. I think he's seen some up and down changes, which we'll definitely talk about. But the other part is he is a fellow UWM Panther. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah, it's a, I was literally just down there. I'm always down at UW-Milwaukee, and, I feel like no matter how old I get, I always feel like there's going to be a professor that pumps up from around the corner and be like, aren't you supposed to be in class? What are you doing out here?
Yeah, and I don't have that fear because most of the professors I had are no longer there. So I think they probably,
still run into it. Well,
they probably retired. I think the last one that was there when I was there was Mr. Fisher, who taught higher level accounting. And I think he just recently retired. So
still a few. There's still a few. But yeah, when the professors are a lot younger than me, there's a few of them. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, thanks for having me on. I know you were just talking about the election, and I do want to say that up front, as people are everyone's doing their analysis, and we do the American tradition that the side that lost, no matter how close it was, no matter how many of the other factors are involved, that they're like, well, throw out the baby and the bathwater and everything else. And if you don't start over completely, like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Obviously, in a very close election, there's all different types of things that affect it. But I do want to say the good thing, like the things that did work in Wisconsin is what we did in the state Senate. We were able to elect 4 new Democrats, the Wisconsin State Senate, which is not something we usually get a chance to say. And it means we're on the path of being able to get to the majority in the Wisconsin State Senate for the first time in 16 years.
Yes. So very exciting.
Big stuff, big deal. Yes.
It's not only 4, it's 4 out of 33, which I think when you think about it, that's a huge swing. Yep. And the same thing happened on the assembly side. There were 10 seats that flipped on the assembly side. And when you think about Wisconsin, the last 3 presidential elections have been razor thin. And to have that big of a swing, Chris, what do you attribute that to?
I mean, the fact that we had fairer maps for the first time in, 12 years. So 12 years ago was when the first maps went into effect, the gerrymandered ones. These are the ones that Republicans basically set it. So no matter what happens at the top of the ticket, which, in Wisconsin usually means it's going to be a 50-50 election. It's going to be super close. But of course, they didn't want to have a 50-50 legislature because there's a chance they don't end up being the one with the gavel, deciding what bills move forward and who gets ignored. So they rigged the maps so that they would have about 2/3 of the votes. And that's what they had in our state Senate. They had 2/3, even though we're 50-50 at the top of the ticket. They had 22 of the 33. And then in the assembly, it was pretty much that equivalent, 63 of the 99. So stacked, right? Not close to 50-50. This is like, it's the equivalent. You know how, like, if you have kids, and you know you have kids, you end up, you know, saying, okay, the fairest system is one cuts the cookie.
Right.
And the other one chooses.
Yep. Yep.
This is the equivalent of, like, they get to cut the cookie and then they get to keep which side they want. So it was 2/3. Yep. That seems fair.
Yeah. And I know that fight, and I know a lot of you listening were in on that, is, you know, it's I call it the battle for democracy, because, and I love the way you said it, Chris, fairer maps. They're not the fairest maps we could have, but they're fairer. Right. But it does. I mean, we're a purple state. I think everything that shows is that every single, either statewide or federal election, they're going to be tight. They're going to be close. And that's the way the assembly should play out. And that's the way the state Senate races should play out. But I know Robin Voss was he was proud of being able to say, you know, our people who run are the best, and that's why they're chosen. And I haven't seen any really good quotes from him about what happened, otherwise to say that, you know, the Democrats were talking about getting a majority and they didn't. And therefore, the people rejected them, which is, once again, I like to call that political theater. But what ramifications will this election have on the ability to come together to start solving some issues?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that we do. But again, you still have Robin Voss. I think they're going to elect him as their leader again. And just to be clear, you're right. These are not fully fair maps. These are the Republican maps. The Republicans voted for these. No Democrat. I think maybe one or two. But these are largely the Republicans that carried these maps forward because they were the best for them. Hence, 50-50 election, they still have 54 of the seats in the assembly. So they didn't lose their majority or get it close to 50-50. I do hope that we actually have a chance to get stuff done. I met with another senator yesterday to talk about bills regarding healthcare affordability and making sure that our hospitals actually earn their nonprofit status, which isn't the case right now. They end up getting more of a benefit that they give out to the community, which,
yes,
you know, by most people's definition of what a nonprofit is supposed to be, that's not it. And they haven't been doing that for years, and they've been giving the cash to executives and operating like a corporation. If they want to do that, they have to pay taxes like a corporation. So that's a big one, moving up nursing ratios or establishing nursing ratios minimums so that we actually, you walk into a unit knowing that you're going to be covered, or your parents are going to be covered. But I digress. There's opportunity for a bunch of different bills to actually move forward if common sense reigns. If that's going to happen anywhere, that's going to be in the state Senate. So we'll see. I mean, the Robin Voss, he's probably going to block a lot of stuff, but that doesn't mean we're not going to try.
But aren't there enough people who are sitting in a district now where they're not guaranteed reelection, and
yes,
they're going to now have to bring back some results to their constituents. So their constituents go, okay, because I've always felt, and we've talked about this a lot, but I've always felt like you should run on ideas. You should get reelected on results. And we haven't had that here in Wisconsin for a long time. It's been running as a party and then rerunning as a party. And now I think there's an opportunity here, because it doesn't take that many senators and or assembly people to be able to say, wait a minute, I need to work on that issue because it's important to my constituents. And healthcare, I think, is one of those. You know, I'm on the ACA. So, you know, because I'm a small business owner, there's no place else for me to go to get healthcare coverage. And that's what I have to do to be able to figure that out. What are the chances of Medicaid money actually coming into Wisconsin in the next couple of years?
We're doing the Medicaid expansion?
Yes.
I mean, we should always pick that fight because it's one of the easiest fights to win. And the logic on the other side doesn't make any sense. We literally pay more money to cover less people. And there's federal dollars that are being just sitting there, are going to other states that we decide, we're like, oh, no, let us spend, because we would rather have our taxpayers cover this bill. Like, you know, imagine that in a restaurant situation, if they're like, oh, yeah, no, this is covered. There's a coupon that makes sure that this is actually taken care of by the federal government the same way they cover everyone else. You can cover more people that way. But we actually cover less people and pay more for it than if we would have expanded it. So it literally doesn't make any sense. And it brings more money. It frees up money that we're spending on that we could be spending on public education, on improving our natural environment, on, you know, you name it, to the tune of over $1 billion now over the last 10 years that we've dragged our feet. So hope springs eternal. We always bring that one up. If you're up for a fight and bringing it up, I'm up for a fight and bringing it up.
Excellent. Because I think it needs to be brought at least to back into the swing of things for people to be able to say, wait a minute, how many of my constituents are covered by the ACA? Because right now it's called the Affordable Care Act, but I call it the Accessible Care Act because for some people it's not affordable. And, you know, and premiums keep going up and things keep changing. And I think it's good to take a step back and go, okay, we've made it accessible. Now we need to make it affordable so people get better health care and actually get healthier. So,
yes, absolutely. Making sure those plans on there are actually things that cover the needs that you have.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. That's the route that we should be going. And I think that, you know, if folks are listening to your show, there's a pretty good chance they're in tune with politics and how it's been operating over the last 10 years. And there's been what has been common knowledge and has been true is like that political gravity doesn't work, that like lobbying doesn't work, that public pressure, that they can just ignore it. There was a famous quote from the Republicans when they passed their gerrymandered maps. You might remember it, ignore the public comments. And that has been their mantra. But now they've shown like two of the most powerful Republicans in the legislature, both of them on the Joint Finance Committee, both of them among the richest members of the state Senate, were defeated 2 weeks ago, right? And so all of their colleagues are looking around and saying, wait a second, if these two folks who had been operating with, you know, just doing whatever they wanted are suddenly gone, they might want to think twice about ignoring the bills that Democrats bring up. By the way, less than 5% of Democratic bills get a hearing and less than 1% have passed over the last 10 years. So I'm expecting that ratio to change.
And that would, I think that to me is one of those litmus tests that people can watch and see if things are really changing. That should be a way to say, all right, more bills are coming to see the light of day and things are happening. So got to take a break. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show with your guest host, Tom Palsowitz.